fellow Homo sapiens. Welcome to Tipsy Taxonomy, where the animal info is strong, but the drinks are stronger.
Grab yourself a beverage, sit back, relax, and get tipsy with us while we talk taxonomy.
Bottoms up!
Gentlemen, Zoe, episode one.
Woo woo!
We are in it to win it. Let's woo, go!
Woo.
We've been waiting for this moment for a while.
Yeah, hello everyone. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you've got a beverage. Jordan, what are you drinking today?
Let's see. So I have these ciders from 101 Cider House.
First of all, let the audience get to know you. Why a cider?
Oh, because I can't eat gluten. Woo, my woo. Weakness is bread.
Woo, woo.
Let's go. So, 101 Cider House, located in LA. The flavor that I chose has relevance to my animal. Yes. So, I'm going to tell you what it is, and you're going to try to guess what region. It is gunpowder guava.
So, I focused on the guava portion. Don't.
Yeah, so she already knows the answer,
yeah.
But like, yeah, so gunpowder guava, my animal I chose is from the Asia region. Specifically, a lot of it is in China, but we'll get into the details of why I say a lot, because not all. Uh-oh! Spoiler alert. And Zoe, what do you have in front of you?
I have a cape.
Sorry, I had to kill the mood for you.
I have a caipirinha, which is Brazil's national drink. Again, relevance to my animal. The majority of the animal I chose today
is in Brazil.
I know. What is this? Anyways, our family of the day is
Canada!
So it is the dog family. Jordan, what will you be covering?
Oh, boy. Okay, so my animal, I'm super stoked about mine because it's one of also...
Just give the name and then we'll get into the deets later.
Well, so the name is part of one of my, like, other favorite animals. So...
Okay.
So one of my favorite animals, right, is a normal... it's a native to Native America. I don't know if it's native. I didn't research this one. But the animal I chose is called the raccoon dog.
Ooh.
Yeah, so fun fact about me, I love raccoons. I think they're one of the sickest animals around. And we'll...
I thought you were going to say dog was your favorite animal.
Also true. But no, raccoons.
Put them
raccoons
both together. Couldn't be better.
Raccoons are one of my favorite animals. So, yeah, I chose a raccoon dog because how could I avoid such an option as a raccoon dog in the Canada family?
Valid, valid.
And Zoe, what about you?
I have chosen the maned wolf. No yawning. It's a dope.
You'll convince me otherwise, but...
Yeah, I will.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So before we get into our individual species and everything, ladies and gentlemen...
And those who choose not to identify as a binary...
Shit, sorry. Sorry, y'all.
Life is more than just one or the other.
Before we get into our individual species, people of the...
Hominidae
family. Zoe will give an overview of the family. Caninidae.
So, can you tell it's tipsy taxonomy yet? Anyways, so Canidae is our family. I'll give you the whole King Philip laydown of it all.
King Philip orgasms, baby!
Kingdom.
Strongly orgasms.
we'll explain to the strongly.
Yes.
Kingdom is Animalia, so animals. Phylum Chordata, we explained that means vertebrates, those with a spine. Class Mammalia, mammals, like you and I. Order Carnivora, that means carnivores, but not all in Carnivora are carnivores. Suborder, whoa. That wasn't part of it.
Yo, Zoe, what the fuck is a suborder?
Science has no rules.
Uh-oh. He super orgasms.
So, we'll have to change
I'm off on that one.
It is now King Philip can orgasm significantly from genital stimulation, because we've got suborders. Anyways, science makes our own rules. The suborder is caniformia, so it basically separates the dog-type carnivores from the cat-type carnivores. So the other suborder is Feliformia. Anyways, family, candidae, means dogs. In the order Carnivora, my favorite thing that carnivores have is a carnassial. It is basically their molars and premolars are specialized to be made for shearing meat. So that is the upper fourth premolar. So if you start at your front, the very first molar you have is a premolar. You count back four, their fourth premolar, and then on the bottom, their first molar are specialized. Go check at your dog and cat. Look at their teeth. They're really cool.
Or
they're
if you have a dog, just watch whatever they gnaw on.
Yeah, so it's using. Like specialized for eating meat, because carnivora means I eat flesh. They also have a really high sagittal crest over the top of their skull, which is made for muscle attachment for really strong jaws, and a really strong big zygomatic arch that is kind of behind and below the eye socket. And that is also made for even more muscle attachment to have really, really strong jaws. But as I said, not all carnivora are carnivores. Some are even herbivores. Ayo, Jordan, who are the carnivora herbivores?
Red panda. Ladies and gentlemen, and non-binary, she has notes for me so that when she asks me that, I know to say red pandas.
The pandas and the red pandas are bamboo specialists. Obviously, bamboo is not a living thing. So they are in the order Carnivora, but they are not carnivores.
So maybe I must admit that I was actually staring at our smallest dog using his molars to gnaw on his foot right now. So I got a little distracted. So you threw
the carnassial. Anyways,
you got me all confused on that one.
So what differentiates Canidae from Felidae, dogs from cats, is Canidae dogs have a longer rostrum, so they're known for smelling, which we all know. We all know that dogs, like bloodhounds, are really, really good at sniffing.
Also, rostrum is a good term to know for when I talk about my animal, because
sneak preview.
Because I didn't know what a rostrum was when I was researching, and Google did not help me out.
We listed ourselves as an educational podcast.
We are experts in the field of our specific animals.
What's cool about cats versus dogs, dogs are made to actually crush bone. So where cats have that spiky tongue that's going to help them clean all of the tissues off of bones, dogs can actually crush the bone and eat the marrow from within because they have 4/4 premolars. So 4 premolars on top, 4 on the bottom, 2 molars on top, 3 molars on the bottom. Cats do not have well-developed molars at all. They don't really have actually all that many teeth. Interesting. What's cool, Canidae has members on every continent except Australia and Antarctica. Australia does have carnivores. They have the dingo. However, the dingo is a marsupial, like a kangaroo. So a dingo, even though it's like the Australian's version of the dog, it is more like a kangaroo than a dog. So sorry, Australia, you don't have any dogs. Every ecosystem on Earth has a species of dog represented, though, which is really, really cool. So dogs are really diverse. They differentiate from the Arctic fox in the tundra, so really, really cold, snowy, crazy, to the fennec fox in the Sahara Desert. So you can see dogs all over the place. Any ecosystem on Earth has a dog that's adapted to live there. Woot, woot. They have really...
Woot, woot. Woot, woot.
They have a really acute sense of hearing. So they're really good listeners. They have the best, as I mentioned before, because of that long rostrum. They have the best sniffers on Earth. Carnivores within... So I talked about how Canidae doesn't just have carnivores. The carnivores within Canidae tend to be pack animals, so dogs, wolves, etc. The omnivores within Canidae, which I think... I will touch on, Jordan, will you touch on an omnivore within Canidae?
I actually will be.
So they tend to be solitary. That is true of my omnivorous carnivore. I don't know if that's true of Jordan's.
Eh,
a Okay. We'll get into that later. Common characteristics among Canidae is a long face and muzzle, erect ears. Obviously, we've bred that out of certain dogs. By the way, if you're curious, the dog scientific name is Canis lupus familiaris.
Whoa, whoa.
They also tend to have bushy tails. That is obviously also something that we have bred out of Canis lupus familiaris. They are also digitigrade. Jordan, what are your digits?
So I have fingers and toes. So those are my digits.
Good job.
But yeah. Also my digits are, I'm not going to list my digits actually, but you know.
Anyway.
I was going to list my phone number.
Digitigrade means that they walk on their fingers and toes.
Yep.
So they walk on their digits. That's opposed to like horses and stuff that walk on their nails and things like that.
Or like if you walk on your tippy toes, you're walking on your digits.
Yes. Yep. So we are plantigrade. Humans are plantigrade. We walk on the foot, not the digit.
Yep.
You obviously knew that.
Absolutely.
Dogs also have non-retractable claws. Majority of cats, not all though, maybe we'll touch on that someday. Most cats have retractable claws. Dogs do not.
We get to the Felinidae family.
Work that out on your own. But yeah, dogs have non-retractable claws. They're always there. They're kind of like...
Sorry, she had to take a drink, ladies and gentlemen.
Dogs are like... their feet are like cleats. They've always got those claws there that help them run. Also, that carnassial I mentioned before is made for crushing bones. So while cats use their sandpaper tongue to lick all the tissues off of bones, dogs can actually crush the bone whole and...
But Zoe, actually, we'll get into this more when we talk about cats and everything, but like, what about lions and stuff? They can crush bones.
No, they can't. They don't have very well-developed molars.
Stay tuned for our episode about cats and Felinidae.
Sure. Anyway, I was on a hike and I found a bone, it was like a femur or something that was like crushed in half.
That means
a dog got to it. It's probably a wolf
Canidae. We don't know if it was a dog specifically, not your household pet.
A dog-like animal. Yeah.
Exactly.
Got to it. Anyways, Canidae, like most carnivores, also have big canines. So look at your dogs. They're going to have big old canines.
Mine's kind of broken off.
That is...
Jordan's
got dull canines. He'd never survive in the wild.
Rude.
Anyways.
I've survived this long.
That is an overview of the family Canidae. So that is what we'll be covering. We each chose an animal within Canidae. Jordan, would you like to start us off talking about your specific species?
I would be honored. Okay, so we're going to start about location, right? So we got the raccoon dog. Pardon me.
Why is it called the raccoon dog, first of all? If you don't mind me interrupting.
Excuse me. I got to get to the scientific name.
Sorry.
The scientific name is kind of difficult. So it is.
Have fun three drinks in.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm one drink in.
Nycteroides proxenoides.
One more time, sped up a little bit.
Will you try?
Yes. Oh, he's not wrong.
Thank you.
I'm going to call it Nycteroides proxenoides.
Yeah, whatever she said.
So procyon, lotor.
We'll get into this later.
Can you not steal your thunder?
Can you not rush the raccoon dog? I get through all of this at some point.
Sorry.
It might not be until like 20 minutes later, but we will get there. All right. So the raccoon dog, right? So location. It started out in Asia area.
So explain your drink.
What? Oh, so gunpowder. So to all my fellow historians that are like me where they know their historical facts.
Not me.
Gunpowder was created in, it's either 5th or 9th century China. It's one of the two.
400 year difference. No,
it was created in China at one point. Okay. And so I chose the gunpowder guava drink because gunpowder was made in China and the raccoon dog is actually native to the China area. Oh my goodness, I'm going to have to go through my notes to find the subspecies because there's 5 different subspecies.
Oh shit.
Right?
So what is a subspecies?
So subspecies is like take the species and sub it. No, I'm kidding. A subspecies is like... say you have an animal, there's certain variations of the animal. So, like, say you have nachos. You got carne asada nachos, chicken nachos, and veggie nachos. The veggie, chicken, and carne portion of it is a subspecies of the nachos. So, that's...
So subspecies is kind of like a breed. So, like, we've got Albert, who's a German Shepherd, and Buzz, who's a Schnauzer Yorkie mix.
Exactly.
Okay. I understand now. Thank you.
Yep, exactly. So, they have five subspecies, and those are the Chinese raccoon dog.
Okay.
A Korean raccoon dog.
Okay.
A Yunnan. Also... A bit of a disclaimer, I apologize if my pronunciation is well off. Please let us know how bad I am at it, so I can get better at it.
Emphasis on the tipsy part.
Well, so I'm going to talk about a specific part of China that I really hope I don't butcher the statement of it. But so, to reiterate the subspecies, Chinese, Korean, Yunnan, the Ussuri raccoon dog, which is actually native to Russia.
Hmm.
Yeah. And we'll get into the details of them, but they're more of a larger, denser haired raccoon dog.
Okay.
And then the Japanese.
Okay.
So somehow they made it on the island of Japan.
Okay.
Perhaps because of, I don't know, Pangaea, if that's a thing. But so they're native to those areas and everything. So Eastern Siberia, Northern China, North Vietnam, Korea and Japan.
That whole area.
Yep. But what's crazy, right? So us as humans are assholes.
Naturally.
And decided, hey, let's move them to another geographical location.
This is funny. I also cover how humans are assholes.
However, the reason we moved them is for fur farming. So we're even more assholes. Well, actually, we haven't moved
them. I saw a picture of these dudes. They're pretty fucking cute. If I was into furs, I might wear them.
Literally take a raccoon and mix it with a dog.
Yeah, like it's pretty. They're cute.
Like their name.
Why are there not stuffed animal versions?
So as a viewer, please look up what a raccoon dog is.
Listener.
Spoiler alert, we're going to move to video at some point.
No.
It might be years from now, but we're moving to it.
As a consumer
of this podcast, look up what a raccoon dog looks like. So they're known for their black eyes, similar to a raccoon. But what's also interesting, right, is they are the holiest of dogs.
Holy? Like the Pope?
Take a guess as to why.
I want to say something dirty.
I dare you.
Like,
triple
do they
dog
have,
dare you.
Do they have more than just like butthole, vagina, pee hole?
Because
that's why.
A little dirtier than I was expecting. I don't know what I was expecting, to be honest with you. But no, because their back markings are actually in the shape of a cross.
So oh!
They have black marks
like
going down their
holy.
Shoulder. Yeah, exactly. So they have black marks typically going down their shoulder blades and then going and then down their leg and then going down the spine.
Interesting.
So it makes like a very scuffed cross, but they have it. So they're holy.
Is there like an adaptational reason?
They look like raccoons, so I don't know how adaptation.
That's
it
a good
is.
Dodge of the question.
Thank you. Let's see.
Moving on.
Who was animaldiversity.org and Wikipedia did not tell me such. So, where was I?
You were talking about their...
Jesus Christ. This is where
you
the podcast...
You talked about the different subspecies.
Thank you for tuning in. So the subspecies. Yeah, we have those. We have the five. They look like raccoons. Like, if you look up a picture, you're going to be
cute.
Like, am I looking at a raccoon dog or a raccoon?
We'll go ahead and we'll post photos of both of our species on our social media. That is at Tipsy Taxonomy, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. If you want us on other stuff, we'll go on other stuff.
Yeah, great plug. I like that. That was a good addition of the
at
plug.
At Tipsy Taxonomy, TipsyTaxonomy. Sure.
That's also shift 2 if you're on the computer. That is the at symbol. Is shift 2. So hold them at the same time and you'll get your at symbol on Twitter.
Okay, moving on. back to the raccoon talk.
Yep.
Yep.
I love that show. But no free advertisement. Just kidding. Avatar. A lot there, but that's a good advertisement.
Not Blue Guys.
So there.
Wait, okay, pause. We're only one bullet point into your notes.
We're trying. No. So they're. Oh, that's right. They're introduced to Europe.
Bless anyone who's gone this far with
no,
us.
No. So they're introduced to Europe, right? For fur farming reasons.
Okay.
Finland, Sweden, Norway, Poland. Yes, I'm reading off of notes. Romania, Czech Republic, Slovakia, Germany, France, Austria, Hungary. So they're introduced to those locations and became somewhat invasive because of it.
All for fur farming?
That was the main reason. So fur farming introduced an estimated like 10,000 of these little suckers.
Sorry, what is the difference between introduced and invasive?
So introduced means like, hey, here's a raccoon dog.
Yeah.
I'm bringing it to your location. Well, you don't bring one because obviously they can't mate with anything. You bring,
but like you bring a population. What
right.
takes something from introduced to invasive?
So, in the case of the raccoon dog, they were native to China.
Right.
But they
were brought to like Russia and stuff.
People
like
were
Eastern.
No, no, they weren't brought
Western.
To Russia. They were in Russia because Russia's right next. So, I don't think we fully covered. They were in China, Korea.
Okay.
Before it was split into the two, which we won't get political, but they were split into the two. And then, I don't know if that's true. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Okay.
If any of our viewers are Korea historians, please let us know. But, like, all that area is connected to each other. When Pangaea was a thing, Japan was connected to it. So, what happened is us humans were like, hey, these are cool-looking animals. Let's grab them up, move them to Europe. And so they moved them to the Finland, Sweden, Norway, Poland area.
Yeah.
And we're like, be free.
And then they, were prolific, and that's what makes them invasive, correct?
Yeah. And so the reason they were so prolific is because they're super, they can adapt to almost anything.
So introduced is, they were brought there, but then invasive is when they, take on a life of their own, and they're like, we're taking this crap over.
They're like, yeah, this shit's our land.
They're like, we like this.
This is
we're
legit.
We're going to make more of us and establish here. So
kind
of like colonizers?
You're also getting political up in here. Oh!
United States.
But basically, yeah. So they were brought into Europe.
I got it.
For the fur farming trade. They're like, man, we don't want to travel all that far.
Yeah,
to
that's
actually...
a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah. This is too far. I don't want to go down the Silk Road to get there. Ooh. You know, us humans.
We're lazy.
We're lazy as hell. So, basically, so now we're going to get into what they like.
I would like to make them happy. What do they like?
They like forests. In the term of like...
I like forests.
But then also, because they're in Europe, and we all know Finland and all those areas are, yeah. So all those places are, you know, cold in certain times of the year.
True.
They're really good at providing the snow, so they're more used to the subarctic and subtropical.
Okay.
So they like the foresty, dense areas, but then also the snowy type areas.
Okay.
Disclaimer, I'm not an expert, so I might be butchering this, but...
But you Googled it, and that's all that matters.
Bingo. Wikipedia is my best friend. One thing, though, that Wikipedia didn't say, but Animal Diversity did, is they are not a fan of anything above 10,000... I didn't put a unit. I believe it's feet in elevation.
Or like meters, if it's in Europe.
No, if meters, it's less. But they don't like 10,000.
They don't
feet.
Like high elevations.
No, I put it in American terms, so
they don't like
feet.
Okay, so they don't like high elevation. Okay,
so 10,000
like
feet
low.
In an elevation.
Okay.
So that to sea level, they're like, this is legit. This is the sickest place I've ever been.
I mean, I feel them. I don't want to be up high. It makes me tired. I breathe heavy.
Exactly. Okay. Yep.
Maybe I could be a raccoon dog in another life.
So raccoon dogs, native to Asia, moved to Europe for the fur farm trading.
Yes, we went over that.
Yep. I'm reiterating to the audience.
those that are blessed humans the who ones have stayed that have with
sticked
us.
It out.
Yikes.
So physical description, right? So they look like raccoons. Like,
they're cute as fuck.
I almost think they look like a bit of like collies mixed with a raccoon.
I can see that.
Yes.
They've got longer hair, huh?
Yeah, yeah. They have longer hair.
But
so
they're smaller, right?
Like,
like a Sheltie more than a collie.
Yeah, so take a corgi body.
Okay.
Give it the hair of a collie.
Okay.
And give it the coloring of a raccoon.
That's like all my favorite things mixed together.
Exactly. So that's why I love them. That's why I picked
that's
them.
That's why I love them.
So they have the stereotypical kind of corgi, short legs, long torso, small heads, pointy nose.
Okay.
Which
we talked about that with the pointy nose and the long rostrum.
Exactly. So they have those pointy noses, the small heads. What's interesting is they have a total of 42 or 44 teeth.
Or?
Yep, or, because they have a variable number of molars, which we talked about earlier in the episode.
So is that, like, based on species or based on
so
what? Because, like, sometimes males can have more teeth in certain species, right?
It's about the species. They're weird as hell. So,
oh.
Looking, if we want to get...
Oh, because they're subspecies.
If we want... No, they have subspecies, but they're
right.
A species that... In and of themselves.
So, but like...
So, what's crazy about them is, like, down to the biological level...
Yeah.
And I want to get my notes out for this because I don't want to mess up the word.
Right, we're educational.
They share homologous chromosomes...
Okay.
...with Felidae members. So, it's not Felinidae, it's Felidae. So cats.
Okay.
So
they're kind of cat-like.
Right. So they're actually, they have no cousins or like close relatives to Canidae.
Oh. Wow.
Like they're more closely related to cats.
Interesting.
But then they're the raccoon dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So one of the things that Google told me was they have no taxonomic position.
We're tipsy taxonomy. What does that mean?
Oh, shit. I don't know.
Oh, no!
Basically, like, their taxonomy is all screwy because...
So they have, like, no close relatives.
So they're closer to felines, but they're Canidae.
By myself.
Yeah, we're not trying to get copyright strike.
Oh,
uh-oh. But no, basically, so... Yeah, no, they're closer to cats almost than they are dogs.
Well, so foxes are, like, digestively at least, foxes are pretty close to cats.
Foxes
so if
are
like,
weird.
If they're like cats.
I don't fully understand foxes because I feel like they're, like, a weird... Like, if you take the perfect mix of the two, like, of a cat and a dog, think of the stereotypical cat and the stereotypical dog, I feel like you're getting a fox out of that.
Just wait for the maned wolf. Continue.
Oh, okay.
Little sneak preview.
So, yeah, that's a little bit about their biological makeup, which, again, to reiterate, they got the weak molars, presumably because they're closer to cats than they are dogs, so they don't really gnaw on the bones, I don't think. I might...
Well, they're going to have a crack.
My notes might say differently, but... yeah, no, they have weak molars. That was like one of that was the one thing that they kept saying.
So they really
like,
are kind of cat-like.
So their molars are just, yeah, weak as shit.
Interesting. So what is their like diet?
So they're omnivores.
Okay.
And it changes by the season.
So that makes sense. So what kind of meat do they eat?
So their diet also depends though on the location that they're in.
Right, obviously.
Because so in Japan, they're very much raccoons. Like, they
like make, trash. That makes sense, because it's more like metropolitan.
They freaking love the trash.
Oh, I love trash.
Yep.
So they get along with me, because I'm trash.
I'm not going to make the joke on that one.
Good boy, don't take the bait.
But yeah, no, in Japan, they rely on the garbage, and then insects, fish, because...
So they're not eating, like, large prey.
So, this might lead into my question for you, is because they do eat rodents. And
so
it depends
like,
on the season. But, like, the rodents that they focus on are voles.
So, small stuff.
And, like, gerbils.
Which makes sense. So they wouldn't need, like, to crush bones because the bones are pretty small.
I guess.
This is really cool because you're...
I don't know the skeletal structure of voles and gerbils.
They're little. They're wee.
I didn't look at a vole, but, like, I know that's a college mascot.
Who?
So shout out to the voles. I don't know which college, but shout out to them.
Hold that out of your ass. Hey-o. No, but that's cool. So, okay, so because they're eating smaller...
Mm-hmm.
Smaller rodents, they don't need to have a developed carnassial because the carnassial is going to be for crushing like larger bones, like
right.
Animals
so they're not
eat,
dealing
like,
with cows
cattle
and, stuff.
And deer and things like that. That's
exactly.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that they're kind of like by like morphologically halfway between cat and dog. Which
right.
I feel like is
so
where like
sense.
Fox type things. Okay.
Yeah. And so, like I said earlier, their diet is adaptive.
Okay.
And so.
Okay.
I think of it similar to, like, a meat-eating sorority girl. In the springtime, when she's getting ready for that summer bod, they eat fruit and insects.
Keep the diet light.
In winter, they eat rodents and feces.
When you've got
but
the
only
sweaters.
She has a boyfriend.
Wait, feces.
Whoops. And, oh, that's also in autumn.
Wait, pause.
Hmm?
They eat feces?
A lot of animals
do.
Do
you know the scientific term for eating poop?
I don't know the scientific term, but I know the scientific reason.
Coprophagy.
Yeah. The coprophet, like a prophet, Holy Spirit, because the raccoon dogs have the cross on their back. They're the prophet.
Call back.
But, I mean, dogs eat their feces. So
sure,
feces
sure.
Is a normal thing, right? So that's how they beef up in the winter and autumn. Wait till you hear why. And then in summer, they're like, I got over my summer bod, so let's eat some nesting birds and fruit. Because the fruit's to make them feel healthy afterward.
Naturally,
if we're going to...
A nice salad.
Anthropomorphizing.
Good word.
Thank you.
A+.
Thank
I like
you.
That word.
So the reason they beef up and focus more on the animals and things of that nature and the rodents in winter and autumn... Yeah, autumn. Is because... They're the only candidate to hibernate.
Wait, they hibernate?
They hibernate. Yep. So when they hibernate, so normally they're like 4 to 6 kilos, which to all our British and non-American, only America uses the non-kilo
metrics. We don't use the metric system.
Yeah, we're at that point. So, to all of our non-Americans, they're 4 to 6 kilos normally, but then when it comes to hibernation time, they balloon up to 10 kilos, which to our Americans,
so
that's
they, like,
22
really,
pounds.
Yeah, so they, like, double in size almost.
Well, right, because they're hibernating, so they're sleeping, and they're not going to be hunting and foraging
Interesting.
And all that stuff. So, yeah, they're like, yeah, let's...
Wait, that's real, like... I can't, like, that's really fucking cool.
Right, why do you think I was like, hell yeah to the raccoon dog?
Yeah.
So that's what they kind of focus on in terms of food. They're like, yeah, let's balloon up for the wintertime. Let's have them salads when it comes
sweater
to...
Sweater weather.
Yeah. So, like, when they're like, we're done with winter, we're done hibernating, let's eat them salads. So they got them insects so that,
okay, so
that
it's like,
healthy protein.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's get some fruit. So let's be healthy in the terms of
So it's less
vegetation.
Of a, like, omnivorous throughout the year. It's more omnivorous at different types.
It's like waves.
Like, sometimes they're carnivorous, sometimes they're more vegetarian,
right.
Herbivorous.
Yeah, so they have that variable diet.
That's
or
cool.
Adaptive, I guess.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even know this species existed, so that's really cool.
So what's weird about that, right, is, fun fact, is when I Googled it, the third top asked question is if raccoon dogs are even real.
I mean, I straight up, like, I would
they're
have assumed...
of least concern.
Oh. So is it because they do so well in the areas they're introduced?
Yeah, so, they're similar to raccoons, right, where they're super adaptive, can eat trash and... All that stuff. So, yeah, no, it's because they can kind of... One of the key facts they told me was that it's they being the raccoon dogs. Yeah, I talked to a raccoon dog specifically for this. Think of it like an interview prior to the podcast.
Not with Google.
No.
Representative of the raccoon dog.
Yeah. So, there's a representative of the raccoon dog, a.k.a. Google, was like... Yeah, no, they're super adaptive. I even put that in my little fun facts, is because they're super adaptive.
No, I mean,
too.
That's a valid thing. That's a good trait to have. A lot of species have gone extinct.
Well, and that led
not.
To their survival and everything,
yeah,
too.
No,
and
go
why
for,
they
go
were able
raccoon
to go to
dog.
Goddamn Finland.
Right.
From
China. That's very different ecosystems. Go them.
Right. So they thrive literally anywhere because they're good with humans and good with eating our trash. So, hey, shout out to all the humans producing trash. Hey-o! Raccoon dogs love you.
No, we are anti-trash. We are pro-low waste. Sorry, raccoon dogs.
Maybe. Sorry,
they're
raccoon
adaptive.
Dogs.
They're adaptive. They're adaptive, so they can eat stuff.
We'll get to the main
trash.
Dogs, and we'll determine if we're pro not eating trash and everything. So,
I mean, I'm pro not eating trash, but maybe the raccoon dog feels differently.
So, one thing that happens, right, when they get moved to a different area and introduced and everything,
mm-hmm.
we got to talk about reproduction.
Nah.
Yep.
Let's talk about sex, babe.
The boink and the zoink, you know?
Wow.
So, I think of raccoon dogs as the ultimate 2020 couple.
What does this mean?
Let me tell you why. Because typically, right, couples were like, the man would do the job and the woman wouldn't. Instead,
okay.
when it comes to raccoon dogs, in the like late time of the pregnancy,
okay.
the dude would go and just hunt everything. It would kill everything. It's
naturally,
like, baby,
naturally.
I'll feed you. It was like, yeah, I'll buy off the dollar
okay.
menu for you.
Yeah.
Let me get them voles for you. Well, except they're hibernating at that time. But they're like, let me get whatever we're eating this
So the man provides when the woman is too busy growing children.
Exactly,
okay.
which is a very common trait in 2020, the year
and
that
not
we're
even
doing
2020.
This.
I feel like every year.
Well, maybe not in the earlier time frames, but
moving on.
Anyway, yeah.
The man's the
breadwinner. Yeah.
The woman makes babies. It's pretty typical.
Well, you're right. So he goes and makes the food, but then the pups are born.
Okay, pups are born.
Which, I want you to guess, so typically, right, pup, the litter or whatever is about
okay.
5 to 7 pups per litter.
That's
a decent amount. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like that's normal across
like
the whole.
Like for a dog, like a domestic
right, right, right.
Okay.
So for humans, it's a bit crazy and they get a show about it. But for dogs, it's normal. It's a good
right.
run of the mill.
Right.
So I want you to guess, though, what is the most pups born in a single litter? Like
for a raccoon dog.
For a raccoon dog. The biggest amount.
The way you phrase it makes me want to say more than 5 to 7.
It's fucking massive.
Like 10?
Mm-hmm.
More than 10?
More than 10.
12?
Nope.
13?
Nope.
15?
Nope.
More than 15?
19.
19 pups. For one. And these things are smaller than 6 kilograms.
Yeah, no, they're tiny little
they're
things.
Wee, and they have 19 babies.
One of those mama raccoon dogs
wow.
pushed out 19 of them little suckers.
Wow, do they, wow.
Now, I don't know the survival rate.
I was going to say, because I can't imagine
that.
Like a raccoon dog having 20 nipples.
Right, well, I mean, they don't.
Right, so okay,
it's
so 19,
like any
like,
dog, right? A dog
yeah.
doesn't have.
They've got like 8.
Exactly.
Okay, so probably 19 babies aren't surviving.
Right.
But wow, that's a lot to grow.
But
no wonder.
Mama
yeah.
pushed out 19
yeah.
of them little suckers.
Praise to mama.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
So she pushed them out into like the dense forage and forest.
Yeah.
Forest, forage, I don't know, whatever.
Forest.
Same
forage
difference.
Food.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So she pushed out 19 of them suckers. And then after that, around 4 months or so,
okay.
dad's like, hey, mama. Time for you to go hunt for
no.
a little bit. And the dad
after
will...
4 months?
Yeah, because they're a monogamous couple.
Oh.
Yeah, they're
so
like,
we talked about that.
We did talk about
pack
that.
Pack hunters.
Well, in our studying, we talked about that. Right.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
Yeah, so they're a monogamous couple. They're a monogamous couple.
Right, so one-on-one.
Mm-hmm. But what's interesting, though, is that when it comes to captivity, because apparently they are in zoos,
uh-huh.
is that they're polygamous.
Huh. So when they're not worrying about resources
and
things like that.
Exactly. So
okay.
when they don't have to worry about like, hey, I got to hunt for my food. They're polygamous.
Interesting.
So that's fully assuming that's the reason why. And again,
right.
Disclaimer, going against our former disclaimer, is that we are not experts on this. But assuming so, that's why. Is
no,
because when they're in captivity, they don't have to hunt for their food. So they're like,
right.
I'll just go mate with everything and then produce
off. Right. They're not defending territory quite as strongly.
Right. So the biology kind of kicks into play for them. And they're like, let's just pop out pups when we can. And then we'll deal from there.
Interesting.
The stupid humans will feed us. So, yeah, no, their reproduction's super interesting, but also, like, super 2020, hey-o. And then we kind of went over, as well, their interactions with humans, too, right? I think I touched on that.
That they're killed for the fur trade.
Yeah. So
that
people turn
into
But, like, I never see them, so I don't know why they're being killed for those.
Yeah, interesting.
Usually you think of, like, minx coats.
Yeah.
Mink
so
coats?
Is that,
minks?
Like, that's, like, the main threat to their survival? I mean, obviously they're least concerned. They're doing pretty well.
Right. So they're super adaptive because they're used to trash and just general insects.
Like, they can survive
everything.
On, like, lower quality food and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So their main concern, though, is human, not predation, but, like, human threat.
I mean, we say concern loosely because they're not.
Right. They're doing fine.
They're of least concern.
Okay.
But another thing, too, which is I found super interesting, is that they're disease carriers.
Oh, but not, like,
so
they don't express the disease? Or they pass it amongst themselves?
So, where's my fun fact?
Turning
about this?
The page.
Yeah, because apparently a virus similar to SARS.
Okay.
Which is, a.k.a.
similar to COVID.
Hey-o! Was isolated in a raccoon dog.
Oh!
In Guangdong, China.
Interesting.
Which I had a joke about that as well, that I was really developing in the brain of
Would
mine.
Would you like to tell it to the audience?
That's the wrong dong. Guangdong.
Oh my God.
Thank you. Claps.
Okay.
But that was in May 2003, so we don't have much to worry.
Okay, so
right now, COVID's
yeah.
our only SARS-related illness that we got to worry about. But yeah, that was isolated.
Okay.
And then while I'm looking at my notes and everything, one of the cool things that I really wanted to touch on is the breakdown of the scientific name.
Yeah, because that's like an interesting scientific name.
Because it reverts back to why they're closer to cats.
Okay, so explain the scientific name.
So,
I'm interested.
So, to go back, and I'm going to butcher this again, Nycteroidus
procyonoidus.
Procyonoidus. So, Nycteroidus procyonoidus.
Good job.
I picked that up really quick. Thank
you.
Yeah,
that was good.
So, Nycteroidus
procyonoidus.
The breakdown of the scientific name, nyctos, means night.
Okay.
Uroina means seeking.
Okay, so night seeking.
But the main thing,
Procyon.
Yep, which I think is similar. No,
so Procyon lotor is the scientific name for raccoon.
Right.
So is that why Prysor?
I also have that in my notes somewhere about the raccoon. Yeah. Let's see. Oh! That was when I was talking about the description of the raccoon dog.
Right.
It looks like the Procyon lotor.
Which is the raccoon that we're used to seeing.
Right. So when you see that little raccoon either dead in the road or running around digging your trash can, rest in peace to all the roadkill raccoons.
Oh, my God.
I love raccoons. So think of Procyon, but with a K instead of a C. That means before dog.
Oh, okay.
And then Eidos? E-I-D-O-S is form. So it's night seeking before dog form.
Interesting.
Right. So before dog is what kind of leans it into that feline.
Yeah. So are they nocturnal then? If they're night seeking?
So I didn't find that in my research. But because of the night, I would assume so.
Okay.
And the problem we run into as well is the, what is it? Nycteroidus? Is that what we decided on?
Sure.
They are the extant species in that extant. Yeah.
Okay.
whatever.
So they're the only species left in that genus.
I was going to explain that to the audience.
Extant means...
E-X-T-A-N-T.
Okay, extant
means that they're the only species
living.
Left.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of extinct.
Right, so if you hear extant species...
So that's really cool. My animal is also the only extant species of that genus.
Right, but mine's cuter. So that's the raccoon dog in
Nutshell. Cool. That's
so
cool.
Do you have any questions on the raccoon dog?
I think you covered it. So they came to different areas. They started in like China-ish area.
Yep.
Came to different areas, just to summarize. They came to different areas because of the fur trade.
Yep.
But despite being persecuted because of the fur trade, they're doing really well in all of the areas.
Yeah,
they're
at least concerned.
That's awesome.
So, like...
I mean, we're, like, snaps to least concerned species.
So, like, shout out to the humans if you want to kill more of them sick code after this.
I don't know about that.
I'm kidding.
Faux fur all the way.
Yeah, no. Faux fur, F-A-U-X. Faux fur. We're all about faux fur.
No, but that's
so
really cool.
If I find out that you are hunting raccoon dogs because they're my new love, I will fight you. But, yeah, no. We're getting to a point where let's focus on the main dog.
So it's actually the main wolf, not the main dog. No biggie. But it is not a wolf at all.
What is it?
It is more like a fox. Oh. So the nickname for the maned wolf is fox on stilts.
Okay.
Scientific name, Chrysocyon brachyurus.
Okay.
So it's not a wolf, sneaky. It has the body of a wolf. So if you like cut the head's legs off, it looks like body of a wolf. Face of a fox.
I love foxes, so
yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, so it's got the cute
cute little
refined fox face.
Will you pull it out?
Yeah.
I want to see one.
Legs are more like a deer.
Okay.
Yeah. And then this is the part you're going to like the best. The urine is that of marijuana.
Uh-oh, 440 blaze it.
if you were to bottle it up, you could call it essence of ganja.
Ooh.
Anyway, so they use their...
Copyright. I've already copyrighted it, so don't even try, listeners.
Buy it for your loved ones for Christmas.
Yep. Get them the essence of ganja.
Anyways, so their urine smells like skunk or marijuana, what have you.
Okay.
And they use it to mark territory as well as attract mates.
Oh, so like similar to regular dogs.
Exactly, yeah. So it's like scent marking. They'll also scent mark with their feces a little bit as well. So, but they're...
Ew.
But that's kind of normal. Like, a lot of animals do that. The part of the maned wolf that is the most interesting are those long, long legs.
Mm-hmm.
Fox on stilts, it's like, take a fox to the circus and it's ready for its act. So they use those long, long legs because where they live in Central and Eastern South America, they are living in high grasses. So, you know, like when you take your dog to like play in a field and it's really tall grass and they do the cute little jumping above the grass.
Oh, I love it.
Maine wolf doesn't have to do it. Doesn't have to waste all that energy.
Oh, because they're already walking
on
ladders.
They're already walking along. Yeah, so the biome that they inhabit is called the Cerrado. It includes high grasses, wet and dry forests, marshes, and wetlands. It's actually the largest biome in South America. So everyone kind of knows South America for the Amazon.
So explain to the viewers, not me, because I know exactly what a biome is. Can you explain what a biome the Cerrado is?
So the Cerrado is the biome. It's just a type of biome. There's a bunch of different types of biome. A biome, this is from dictionary.com. My brain's not working.
I will let you know, though, that dictionary.com, reliable source.
Good. This is actually definition from Oxford, so even more reliable. Gotta love Oxford.
We know those
Merriam
Brits,
and
they
Webster
are
and
smart.
Oxford.
Have you heard the accents?
Anyways, a biome is a large, naturally occurring community of flora and fauna occupying a major habitat. So, for example, forests or tundras. But this biome, the Cerrado, is cool because it has other biomes inside of it. So it's got those forests, it's got marshes, wetlands, grasslands, all that stuff. So it's actually, even though like everyone knows South America, they know it for like the Amazon and stuff like that. It's even bigger than the Amazon.
Huh. So is the Cerrado a very specific biome, or are there like there's a Serrato in this area, but then a Serrato here. I'm really focused on the Serrato.
I only looked up the Maine Wolf. Maybe someday I'll find a Serrato of somewhere else.
But all right.
For right now, the Serrato is what the biome is in South America. Thick red coat, like a fox. Long black legs that help it move above that grass. Tall, erect ears that can rotate individually so they can help hear around them. It's kind of like sonar discs.
Oh, like a horse.
Yeah, well, and we talked earlier about how that's a pretty common trait among all Canidae. That's just something that we've bred out of dogs. Like Canis familiaris, lupus, out of order, whatever. They are about 3 feet tall from foot, like from ground to their shoulder, because their shoulder is going to be like the highest point on their body.
Mm-hmm.
Only about 50 pounds, though. So they're not big at all. They look like they would be really heavy, but because they're just leg, they are not very heavy at all.
So they're the supermodels of the dog world.
Yeah, they are.
All leg. I get it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what's really cool about them, mm-hmm. and part of the reason I chose them, is they are the only animal in their genus. So we talked in the trailer about how the scientific name is the genus and the species put together. So Homo sapiens, mm-hmm. Homo is our genus.
Mm-hmm.
They are the only animal in the Chrysocyon genus. So they are completely distinct. There's no close relatives. Like, there's close relatives within the family of Canidae, but no one that shares their genus.
Huh.
Which is kind of crazy. We'll talk about later a little bit why that
might
be.
Has it always been they're the only ones in their
no,
genus?
No, so that's in terms of how long the Earth has been around, that's relatively recent. I'll talk about it a little later. I'm going to talk more about them and their diet and their lifestyle, and then I'll talk about why they're threatened and stuff like that, because they are not least concerned, like your lucky little raccoon dogs.
Well, you know what? The raccoon dogs are extant, which you discussed earlier
in
the
episode.
Okay,
mine are also extant. They're alive. There are active members.
So they're like the same thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
No.
Just a little different color.
One of my favorite things about the Maine wolf is mm-hmm. that they use this roar bark to identify themselves to mates as well as to warn away others. So warning to those of you with dogs. This got our dogs really excited. So if you want to look for their reaction, go ahead. We'll see if Albert's laying next to us. We'll see if he wakes up. I'll get my volume up. Okay, here is the roar bark of the Maine wolf. So that is the Maine wolf roar bark. Did wake Albert from his slumber, so
it's almost like a gravelly.
It's
bark.
Like a yeah. It's kind of like at the beginning, it almost sounds like a gorilla a little bit to me. But it's yeah. So anyway,
it's very deep. It's a
yeah.
Deep,
it's
deep
very
bark.
Very deep. Yeah. So it's cool. It identifies itself to mates and warns away others. So they are omnivorous. They're solitary hunters. So we talked a little bit about how when things are solitary hunters, they're more likely to catch smaller things.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going after big stuff. They're not going after cows or llamas or anything like that. 50% of their diet, because they're omnivorous, 50% of their diet is this fruit that's called Solanum lycocarpum. That's the scientific name. The nickname for it is Lobera, which translates to fruit of the wolf. It's a berry that's kind of like a tomato, a little bit, basically. So that makes up 50% of their diet. Fruit of the wolf, it's the fruit of the Maine wolf.
Interesting.
Yeah. Their meat sources, they like rodents, rabbits, and insects. They really like guinea pigs. And I really like guinea pigs.
I'm going to guess that their like for guinea pigs differs from
like,
your like.
Yeah,
of
they
guinea
like guinea
pigs
for a little bit different reasons than I like guinea pigs. I would like to
guineas roasting
snug.
On
no.
an open fire.
It's okay. Everyone's gotta survive. I don't hold it against them. But we can agree to disagree on the reasons for liking guinea pigs. So the way that they hunt is they'll do, like if something's flying, they'll kind of leap and capture it in flight, which is super badass. If it's something that's in like a burrow, like smaller rodents and stuff, they'll do like a tap, tap, tap to like, oh, what's going on? I'm a rodent. What's happening?
Like, knock, knock, who's there?
Yeah, exactly. Or
Maine
they might,
there.
They might like, I'm not going to bother with knock, knock jokes. I'm just going to dig straight.
Interesting. Yeah. So similar to a dog in the backyard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm. So they are actually their natural predators, so not humans, are pumas and domestic dogs. They have to compete with them. I think that's what that note means. I just wrote puma slash domestic dog versus Maine Wolf.
Wait.
No, they do. I remember now. One of the things that's threatening their survivals is that domestic dogs were introduced into their areas, and they are vulnerable to some of the diseases that domestic dogs carry.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wait, then where do pumas... Pumas, like, actually attack them?
Yeah, but they also... there's. I'll talk about it later. They're also, killed by by ranchers, because they think that the things that pumas are killing and eating are what the Maine wolves are killing and eating. Like, they kind of have a bad rep because of the, like, wolf name?
Nomenclature?
No. I don't know what word I was going for.
I don't know. I'm just glad I pulled that
Nomaker? That's not a word.
I don't know. We're focusing on the wrong things
because they're called
here.
Because they're wolf in their name, people assume that they're going out and killing things and eating livestock. So we'll talk about that later.
So they only focus on the guineas. They're not focusing
on the
sheep.
They're solitary. They're solitary and they're 50 pounds. There's no way they're taking down, like, 1,000-pound cattle and stuff like that.
That'd be pretty sick.
It'd be sick, but, like, they're little
and
they hunt alone.
That'd be the ultimate, like, pound-for-pound
They're
match.
Little and they hunt alone. Yeah, they're not going for big stuff. They're like, I'm fine with this little guinea pig. So anyway, I said they were solitary, but they're obviously not solitary when they're breeding. That was a stupid note to write down. But what's cool is they are monogamous.
Wait, so were you getting tipsy while writing these notes down?
Maybe a little. Anyway, they're monogamous, heart, heart, heart. With their partner, they will defend a 10-square-mile territory.
Okay.
So relatively small. They are monoestrous, meaning they can only get pregnant once a year. They only cycle once a year. So, like, humans are not monoestrous. Women cycle every single month, about 28 days.
And to the viewers at home, estrus is just like heat. So when they're in the mood.
Yeah, so they're only in heat once a year.
Ladies, gentlemen, and non-binary, when they're in the mood, they're in estrus.
And it's April through June. So, like, right now they're not in heat or anything like that. What's interesting, sperm is only created during breeding season. So most of the time, even for monoestrous animals, the males can always produce sperm.
Those men.
Wasting their energy. No one wants you.
Disgusting.
But the Maine wolf males are a little smarter. They shut down that process when they know that no one wants them there. I wish college boys would do the same. We'd have a lot less trouble.
Good thing you only had to deal with me.
They also notice that the vocalizations and the scent marking increase significantly when it is boom boom season. April rolls around and they're like, I'm pissing and pooping and barking and roaring everywhere.
So it really is like a college boy.
Yeah.
That's all these are. So all I'm gathering
most
is the
animals are just college boys.
These are the college boys of the animal world, specifically in the Canidae family.
To be fair, I think college boys are at their most animalistic state.
We're at our peak.
Okay, anyways. They have about 2.5 pups a year. So mom, dad, and 2.5 pups. They're the perfect American nuclear family.
Aww.
That's fine.
Wait, so that's a litter size is just 2.5?
Well, like, obviously,
okay,
they're
you can't have a half.
So, like,
but
two to three is, like, a
because, like, the raccoon dog
which
was,
is
like,
actually,
what, 6 to 7?
Yeah, it's pretty small.
Okay.
Most dogs are going to have, like, anywhere from, like, 6 to 8, usually, I think. So, that's pretty unique that they only have 2.5. They're pregnant only for 65 days. Dogs obviously all dogs have a pretty short gestation time. So just over 2 months, they're pregnant. Mom raises the babies, and then dad goes out and gets food and brings it back. Again, following those norms of the 50s and 60s and what some people would like today.
Yeah, well.
When they are 4 weeks old, they stop nursing, and then mom gives them what I like to call vom vom yum yum. So mom.
Oh my god, I almost spit out my drink on that one.
So
that
mom,
was so dumb, but
like,
I love it.
So the mom will regurgitate food and they'll eat her regurg.
Okay, wait, so now they're just birds. That's all they are.
I think it's common in other species, but yeah.
Maine wolves are birds.
So they're like, the babies are old enough that they're like, milk isn't doing it. but like they're not old enough to like eat solids, so it's that it's like the baby food equivalent, like when you're getting the nasty like pureed peas as a baby. That's what it is.
Gerber,
not Jergens. That's lotion. Anyways, yeah. And then it's bye bye baby. They move out at 1 year, so that's because mom would then be cycling again and ready for more. They are crepuscular, verging on nocturnal. Crepuscular means that they're most active at dawn and dusk. Nocturnal means that they're active at night. So they're out when nobody else, like humans, aren't. Their median life expectancy, so the middle of their life expectancy, is 6.5 years. The oldest that they'll live is going to be 12 to 15 years.
Wait, so backtracking real quick.
Yeah.
Because they're nocturnal. Yes. Primarily, or they like to be kind of at the darker
like they're
times
because
that's when
in the middle of the
that's
day.
When humans do their
stuff. I don't know if it's due to that, but yeah.
So like, why are there so many photos of them out in the day?
Well, so that could be dawn and dusk times.
Oh,
yeah.
Those photos,
or it
are
could be
really
taken
bright.
While they're like in captivity.
Does captivity switch up their patterns?
Yeah,
like that?
So they see a little bit
circadian,
the patterns changing.
Circadian.
I think circadian is like the day. Circannual is like the year.
Just let us know, everyone, please.
Anyways, yeah, so they, yeah, it does change a little bit. But anyway, so I mentioned they're the only ones in their genus.
Okay.
So their most similar ancestors are the North American wolf.
Mm-hmm.
The thought is that they moved from North America to South America, just kind of walked their way down 2 million years ago, and then evolved to their current state because obviously they were in a different habitat, they were in a different biome, they needed to have different adaptations to survive. So that's why they are no longer the same species, because they
mm-hmm.
evolved enough that they were not similar to wolf anymore.
Interesting.
They
so
are believed,
they're not similar to wolves, but they're still called the wolf.
Yeah, well, and it's because like they're like genetically their ancestor closest to them is the North American wolves.
Gotcha.
So it's believed that they are the only animal. So they think that maybe there were more maned wolves. Excuse me, in the genus when they came like years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
But they are believed to be the only animal of their species that survived the Pleistocene extinction of South American canids. The Pleistocene extinction is my favorite extinction event because humans probably ruined everything. So the Pleistocene extinction saw most medium and large mammals, especially those over 100 pounds, go extinct. It's only really in North and South America, even
uh-huh.
though there are animals of the species that survived on other continents. So, like, horses and tapirs went mostly extinct in North and South America, but you still see them in other continents, like in the old world, like Europe.
Well, that's why you have a lot of, like, the English and, like, Arabian horses.
Right, so, yeah,
horses used to be
native. They're no longer considered native because all of the native wild horses went extinct and they were only reintroduced when, like, the Spaniards and stuff came over.
Huh.
So anyway, so what caused the Pleistocene extinction? Well, we can't say officially, but humans from the old world, so Europe, Asia, Africa,
yep.
showed up, mostly Europe and Asia, showed up in the new world, which is the Americas, suspiciously close to the mass extinction event.
Uh-oh.
The thought is that humans could have overhunted the species to the point of extinction, or directly persecuted them if they were deemed a threat. So it's everything over 100 pounds. So carnivores over 100 pounds might have been seen by humans as a threat to their survival. So they said,
get
the
hell out. So in other words, humans are just kind of
sus.
So
like how the grizzly bear is the state animal of California, but there are no grizzly bears in California.
Shout out to our grizzly bears.
Hey-o. Yeah. And then things that were smaller.
Have you seen those big boys when
things,
they run full speed at you?
Things, No. Humans also brought, if it wasn't through direct hunting and killing of them, either for protection, quote, or for food, it's possible that the same diseases humans, not the same ones, but we know that humans brought diseases over that killed out native populations of humans.
Yeah.
There are also diseases that could have wiped out native populations of animals. There are chances that also it could have been through normal climate change events, but
if you're
a
climate change denier,
no, turn this
podcast off because you are not welcome.
Climate changes naturally. I think everyone agrees with that.
Right.
Climate change that we hear in the news is about human-caused climate change. This would have been normal climate changes because it was pre-industrial revolution and all of that stuff, I think. I'd rather blame humans because if history shows us everything, anything, it's that humans ruin everything.
So shout out to humans for ruining everything.
Also, special note, we had giant ground sloths in North America and South America until the Pleistocene extinction, so shout out humans, now we don't get giant ground sloths.
Okay, so I know we're talking about Canada right now, but
sorry.
but a sloth fact real quick, if they actually moved at a fast enough pace, they would be one of the deadliest predators in the world because of how sharp their claws are. So the thought of a giant sloth is absolutely frightening.
Maybe we'll rig our random selection and talk about sloths next week.
Like, straight up, that is so scary, thinking of
a big old sloth. Rant over, back to maned wolves. Let's keep the theme of humans ruin everything. So
maybe we'll just change the podcast title to humans ruin everything. Here's why.
So maned wolves are near threatened. There's estimated about 25,000 of them in the wild. 90% live in Brazil. The main reason for their being threatened or near threatened is habitat destruction because of agriculture and roads being put in.
Mm-hmm.
So the Cerrado, which as we talked about was their biome, it is 20% of its original size.
Wow.
Yeah. Because also, this is kind of, it sucks, because the Amazon is more well known as, like, the big conservation point for South America, the Cerrado is seen as second class for conservation in Brazil. So, the Cerrado actually sees double the deforestation of the Amazon, because all of the conservation is being focused on the Amazon.
So it's
not bad because there's a ton of species of plant and animals that need the Amazon to survive. But
right,
because
the Amazon
has
one of the biggest.
Exactly, but it means that the Cerrado is a biodiversity hotspot. So it's a spot in the world where you see more and more unique animals than anywhere else.
So I guess what I'm part of it,
but
though,
there's
is
just not a lot of people fighting for it.
Because isn't the Amazon though one of? Isn't that what? And I'm trying to think of all the Netflix documentaries I've watched on nature and the Earth and everything. Isn't the Amazon like some crazy? Like, the forest itself helps produce a lot of the world's, like...
Yeah, like, O2 a lot of the world's oxygen comes from the Amazon, yeah.
So
but
is
it
that
is
why people more focus on that because of that oxygen
production?
Potentially,
yeah, potentially. It's also because the Cerrado is more of a savanna-type biome. It might not be seen as quite as ecologically diverse because it looks like it's just grass.
Mm.
So, but it is actually the world... Of all the savannas on Earth, so you've got savannas pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
It is the world's most biologically rich savanna. So we should care
about it. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Because of those roads that are being put in and reducing and degrading the habitat, speeding cars also cause a lot of dead maned wolves, something that we see a lot. I just saw an article about it. Bears in Yosemite, that's right, kind of in our backyard, it's the same thing. They get killed all the time because people are, instead of enjoying the beautiful views around them, they're speeding through and they kill bears.
Well, I know with COVID too, it was even worse because they got
exactly.
so used to not having
yeah.
that human traffic.
Yeah, so anyway, it's true everywhere. Go the fucking speed limit. It's not that hard. Like, don't kill. If you see a sign that says,
hey,
like,
I
deer
gotta
crossing,
get 2 minutes faster,
crossing.
Though.
No,
okay.
It's stupid. Sit around and enjoy the view.
I gotta get 2 minutes faster.
Sorry. They also are sometimes killed for their body parts. Their organs are deemed magical.
Ooh.
The domestic
like almost
dog.
Every,
yeah.
Animal.
I also talked about earlier the domestic dog is a threat to them through disease, and there is direct persecution. So domestic dogs will kill maned wolves. 50 pounds isn't big. We know a lot of domestic dogs bigger than 50 pounds.
We got one laying right next to us.
Exactly. So they're probably going to lose a fight with a domestic dog. They're used to killing like freaking chickens and rodents, so they're not going to be winning a fight against a domestic dog.
So are these dogs and everything, like the domestic dogs, they're going out and attacking these maned wolves? Or is it just more the disease factor?
I think it's the disease factor is, I think, the biggest one. But then it's also, like, if they come in contact. Like, it's not like people are sending out hunting parties, I don't think. But
so it's more like, hey, you're my territory.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah, it's the dogs protecting themselves, yeah. There's also a lot of retaliatory killings. So they're wrongly persecuted for killing livestock. And that's just basically, like, if a hunter sees or a rancher sees a maned wolf hanging around and then all of a sudden has a dead goat or a dead cow, they're going to blame the maned wolf.
Mm. So they might be killing might be killing the chickens but not necessarily.
So yeah,
the
if anything
livestock.
Ranchers should want a maned wolf living nearby because they're eating rodents and stuff that are going to be like eating your chicken feed and costing you more money.
Gotcha.
You know what
so
I mean? Like you should
any
like
South
them. They're
American
getting rid of
farmers
pest control.
Listening. They should keep
yeah.
the maned wolves alive.
Well, and that's what's
Perfect.
Hard is it's all about, and so much conservation work is done just to educate people. Because they have the title wolf added to them, and wolves are have like a bad guy. There have even been, I was reading a couple studies about Maine wolves in zoos, and they kind of surveyed people just to see what kind of vibe they get from the name Maine wolf, and people totally thought like, oh, they're like wolves, they're going out and killing things.
So
it's kind of like, even like if maybe if they were called
so
the Maine fox, it would be different.
So that was going to be my question for you is what would be, in your mind, since you're in that realm of, you know, zookeeping and everything, what would be your recommendation for, say, a name change where they don't have that?
Well, a name change I don't think is going to happen because they've had the name for years. You're not just going to change it. And genetically, they are most closely related to a wolf.
Well,
so Maine wolf isn't
in grizzly bears, Kodiak bears, or are those two different things?
That, I think, had to do with regions, and it's different things.
Like, it won't be an overnight change.
No,
but
I don't think it's going to happen because they are most closely related to a wolf, even though they look and act more like a fox. That's more
Got
like
it.
They've adapted rather than, like, their genetics are still based in wolf.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so they have really, really small teeth. They're not going to be killing big boys. They're going to be killing rodents and stuff. If anything that I have said has motivated you to help with conservation of Maine wolves, there's a lot of stuff. You can Google it. A couple that I came across were the Maine Wolf Working Group. Here's their little thing, their blurb, their mission statement. The Maine Wolf Working Group is an organization within the IUCN's Canid Specialist Group, created as a tool to improve the communication among the countries where the Maine wolf occurs. It is composed of researchers from several areas of interest, aiming to work in collaboration to discuss and to implement strategies for a better assessment of information and reduction of impact related to the largest South American canid species. There's also the Maine Wolf Conservation Project within American Association of Zoo Vets. So those are two groups that if you wanted to donate some money and work on educating people about them and also learning more about them, because we don't know a ton about them. You can also visit your local zoo and see them IRL, bitches, if your zoo has them, of course.
Well, just go support your local
zoo. Just
go
support your local. That's going to be like probably how I sign off every single episode ever in my life.
Yeah, no, zoos are sick, have
zoos
a bad rap. You need to go check them out, ladies and gentlemen. So actually, I was thinking before all of this, right, like, once I knew what your animal was and everything, I was like, I'm going to come up with a funny joke about the Maine wolf, because I was really excited about this
joke. Let's hear it.
Will it land? Probably not, but it's an A for effort. So what's a Maine wolf's favorite rapper?
I don't know.
Gucci Mane.
And with that,
I want to give a quick shout out to, again, the local zoos.
Yep.
Another shout out, if you all noticed the intro song, major shout out, and their name is very fitting for this podcast especially, is Day Fox. So they created the song Lioness. That is our intro song. So major
shout
out to them.
We threw in Lion Roar, so shout out to us also. And the burp is all me. So
yeah, so.
But the main beat of the track is from Day Fox.
So Day Fox, you're irrelevant because everyone only cares about the burp and Lion Roar, but we still want to thank you anyway. Yeah, with that,
thanks
everyone.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Exactly. Thank you. Stay safe
out
there.
We are, as of now, on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Cast, and a couple others that I've never heard of before. So we'll go ahead and post. But you listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us a follow, subscribe, review, whatever. Like
yeah,
us
follow
on social
us on
media.
Twitter, Instagram, at Tipsy Taxonomy.
Facebook.
I think / Tipsy Taxonomy on Facebook. I don't know. Sorry, Facebook, but y'all are getting a bit crazy right now. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Tune in next week. We're super excited.
Yeah.
And stay tuned on social media because we will probably be giving hints at what our next family is going to be.
Yeah.
So with
that, also, if you guys are interested, let us know and we can open up a poll probably on Instagram and let you guys vote for what our animal is if that would be something that's cool.
Yep.
So
absolutely
let us
reach
know.
Out. So,
bye.
Awesome. Bye, everyone. Thank you. We love you all. Be
Thank
safe.
You. Bye.